Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Of messages that I began back in August the 31st, and today will actually be the fifth message that I've done in this short series. And today, in beginning everything, I want to start with an intriguing and important question that really many people wonder about, but the Bible clearly answers, and is this: in the last days before Jesus' return, will there be a great awakening and revival ushering in a harvest of souls that God is so patiently waiting for? Or will there be a time of darkness and evil that will eclipse anything that this earth has ever experienced? Which one will it be? Well, today I'm going to show you the answer. And the answer, you know what it is? It's both. Both will occur at the same time. And today, I'm going to be talking about these two extremes. And therefore, if you're taking notes like many of you do, you can entitle this message, The Two Extremes. We find that the scriptures reveal that there will be, at the end of the age, which we're currently in, the end of the church age, there will be two extremes in the last days. Today, we're going to be taking a look at them. And we find that the scriptures reveal that, and we're going to look at a few of those examples from the Word of God for the purpose of these three things. These two extremes, for the purpose of, we're going to look at it, number one, to know what the last days will look like. How many know that's important? Jesus gave us numerous signs, and some of which we've looked at in Matthew 24. Today, we're going to look at some more, but I believe we're going to look at it from a little different angle, and I think it will be very helpful. Number two, to identify what people will be like and will be doing in this final hour before Jesus returns. And then, most importantly, number three, of choosing what side you will be found on. Because all of us are going to be found on one or another side. There's only two sides, church: the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. There's only two sides, light and darkness. Amen. And so today we're going to be talking about these extremes. I want to begin by defining the word extreme. As they put this definition up for me, extreme means reaching a high or highest degree. A very great, it means very great, not usual. It means exceptional. It means very severe, severe or serious. I like this last definition. It is either of two abstract things that are as different from each other as possible. That's a great definition. And we are experiencing two extremes. This is telling us that the last day society will, we will in it experience two extremes, light and darkness, and it will be happening all at the same time. In other words, society will be polarized. Now, what does the word polarized mean? Let's define that, because it means to divide or to cause to divide in sharply contrasting groups or sets of opinions or beliefs. Church, I want to remind you of something that Jesus said. Just mark it down. Jesus said that the enemy will always try to divide. Where there's division, where there's confusion and strife, there's every evil work. But he also lets us know that a kingdom divided against itself shall never stand. So the enemy works extremely hard to divide us, while God is working by his Holy Spirit, by his word, to unite us. And really, as believers, we have to understand there's two opposing things that are going to be occurring. And once again, polarized means to divide, to cause to divide into a sharply contrasting groups or sets of opinions or beliefs. What we must understand as the church, there needs to be, therefore the very need of us having a biblical worldview. What do you mean a biblical worldview? In other words, your view, it should be based upon concerning God, the origin of man, creation, and life should all come from this book right here, the Bible. That is what having a biblical worldview means. And that's what we need. Today, what you see in the world is moral relativism. That means there's no absolutes. And there's a liberal progressive thinking that pervades society, but it should not be in the church. Because we should understand that there's absolute truth. There's absolutes and there's truth. Moral progressive thinking means there's no absolutes. It means that you determine what's right for you is right for you, and don't get in my face about anything else. But how many know that the Bible tells us, you know, Pilate asked Jesus this in John chapter 18, what is truth? Jesus has already answered that in John 17:17. He says, thy word, O God, is truth. And so we find this, that, you know, there are absolute truths. And what is truth? Well, truth, listen, most of you know this because I've taught it so many times, that truth is not something. Truth is actually someone. Jesus Christ and what he said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. He didn't say, I'm a way. He says, I am the way. And I can tell you, the devil gets mad about that. In other words, right and wrong, there is right and wrong. And there's absolutes. And you can call something else by name, but that doesn't change the fact that that could be right or that could be wrong. In other words, you could say 2 + 2 = 5, but we all know it's 4. You can say it's 5 all you want, but that doesn't change the fact that it is 4. And so we need to understand, church, that there's things that are happening in our world today. Please understand, this is so much more than a social, cultural, or political polarization or divide that is happening today, because what it really is a spiritual divide, a spiritual one. And we need to make no mistake about it. The devil will camouflage it and make it look like it's all social, political. It make it look like it's a cultural thing, when really the Bible lets us know, let's look below the covers and below the surface, and we find it's really a spiritual issue. And there will be two groups, two movements, and two extremes happening in the last days right before Jesus returns. They're going to both be happening. In other words, God says in his word that before Christ returns, he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He wills that none perish, but all comes to repentance. So there will be a move of God's word in his spirit, amen, as illustrated, it began on the day of Pentecost, and it will continue right on through not only the rapture of the church, but there will also be the Holy Spirit working in the earth to bring lost humanity to Jesus Christ during the 7 years of tribulation, leading right up to the second coming of Christ. But at the same time, ever since the day of Pentecost and right on up to the second coming of Christ, there will be a polarizing effect of the world. We see for the first 300 years of the church, the devil did everything he could to snuff out the message of the gospel and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Persecution, he tried to persecute it. He tried to kill the Christian. He tried to do everything through government means, through all the persecution, all the things, and all it ended up doing is setting a greater fire in the hearts and the lives of believers. And I can tell you, ever since that day, the Bible says, all that you're going to find in just a few moments, all that live in a godly life in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Once again, right before Christ returns, first for his church in the rapture, and then 7 years later at the second coming, that you're going to see a polarization effect. The church is going to get brighter, and the world and those that are lost are going to get darker. And it will be a collision. It's spiritual, church. It's spiritual. This ain't natural. It is spiritual at its very core. And so God's word gives us insight into these two extremes. Amen. One represents God's light, and one represents Satan's darkness. And this is what God calls it, light and dark, so that you and I can see exactly what it is. If we are wise, we will call it exactly what it is. And the reason God shows us this is so that if we are in darkness, we can get out of the darkness and get into the light. And if we are in the light, we're gonna dig our heels in and be not only full light, but be burn brighter and brighter until the day of Christ's return. Can I get amen? This is what God wants for his church. Now, I'm going to give you several scriptures, and we're going to show these two extremes. Maybe, maybe not, some of these you've never looked at or considered. But today, we are briefly going to look at them. And so, beginning, I'm going to go through this pretty quick, and that's not unusual. All of you that are a part of this church know, you say, well, I wish you'd just slow down a few moments, and so does Pastor Debbie. Praise the Lord. But I got a lot to say and a little time to say it, and you're good listeners. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to begin in Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2, and here's what God's word says. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. That's what God says about his children. Verse 2, he says, and for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Notice, once again, we have in verse 1, the light and the glory. In verse 2, we have gross darkness. In other words, what we are witnessing today has been called the two clouds. There's a glory cloud on the horizon that brings light. Amen. In a dark world. Amen. And the world hates the light, Jesus said, because it exposes, it reproves the darkness that they're in. Jesus said the world will hate the light because it exposes the darkness that they're in. But Jesus said there's a light cloud. There's a glory cloud. Amen. But he also talked about there was a gross darkness that will cover the earth. And so there are two clouds, a glory cloud and a dark cloud. We are church to run to the light. This clearly illustrates the two clouds or the two extremes that we will see at the same time. It's so important that we understand. Don't be discouraged, church. Both are going to be occurring at the same time. Darkness is going to get darker and light is going to get brighter, and you have to decide which one will you be. And Jesus said, make sure that the light you have is not darkness. So the only way you and I are going to know whether we have the light is if we know what this says and walk in it. Right. Amen. But the point is, there's going to be two extremes. So many times people get discouraged. I mean, the world is getting darker. We should understand it's going to get darker, but we should also be encouraged that at the same time, where sin abounded, grace superabounds. There's nothing so dark that the devil does that God's light ain't going to be greater. Bless God. Hallelujah. And God wants us to see this, understand it, and run to the glory cloud. Proverbs 4, turn there with me if you would, and verses 18 and 19. But the path of the just or the righteous, God's people, is as the shining light that shineth more and more until the perfect day. But the way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. So notice here that in verse 18, the way or the path or the road of those that are righteous or God's children is one of light. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father except by me. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. He that abideth me and I in him shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Write that down. And then we find out this, that in the other extreme of this is Proverbs 14, 12, where Proverbs 14, 12 says, there is a way that seems right unto the man, to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's one way to life, but there's many ways to death. Listen, all the isms in the world, socialism, fascism, humanism, transhumanism, all these isms lead to one place, death. That's not what I'm repeating what God said. But there's one way that leads to life. If you don't like it, then you got something the matter with you, and you're taking offense of God. But God tells us this not because he don't love us. He tells us this because he does love us. He's not telling us that as hate speech because he's correcting us or showing us the right way. He's showing us so that we do not walk in the way of darkness and end up in hell. There is a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun, church. So we see here the true church will go get brighter and brighter because it walks the path of light and life, while the world will get darker and darker because it walks in the path of death. Daniel 12, verse 10, turn there with me, please. It's a very interesting portion of Scripture. Many shall be purified. This is talking about the last days that we're living in. Daniel saw the prophetic end. The book of Daniel is one of other than the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel has more insight concerning the last days than any other prophetic book in the Bible. And Daniel says here, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. You know, that may not be what you call a precious promise, but this sure do make a lot of sense. Because I can tell you, there's people that are going for the dark headlong. They swear up and down what they're saying, what they're doing. It's abominable. It's wicked. All those things. And here this scripture says, many shall be purified and made white. That means they've received the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. They've come under Jesus' blood and been saved. The only way you can be saved, by his precious blood. Many shall be purified, made white, and tried. In other words, there's going to be testing to prove who you really will follow. And you know, I can just tell you, you don't really know until there's some pressure comes on. Everything's hunky-dory, everything's going your way, everything's fine. But what happens when the world gets darker and people start making fun of your walk with Jesus Christ? The scripture warns us in Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13, and Luke chapter 8, in the parable of the sower, that when we have no root in ourselves, no deep discipleship, that when tests, trials, persecution for the word's sake comes, then many fall away. We don't have to fall away, but we're going to have to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. And this is why these types of messages are so important, to prepare our hearts so that if we've been purified, made white, listen, there is going to be a testing and a trial that's come upon this earth. And we're in the middle of it, church. You can see it has been happening for a number of years now. Amen. Praise God. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. They're going headlong the wrong way. Swear their wrong is right. And it says, but the wise will understand. So we don't have to say, my goodness, how in the world do these people, what are they thinking? They don't understand. They've been blinded by the devil. But we should understand. The wise will understand. We walk with God. We got his word on it. Amen. So the purified and white, the wise will understand the time it is and what's really happening and prepare and be ready and not be fooled. Come on. But the wicked will do wickedly and not understand. You know why? Because there's a blindness because of their rejection of the love of the truth to be saved. Listen, when you reject the love of the truth to be saved, the only thing that's left is deception and judgment. This is why it's so important that the scripture says, today if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Because there will come a time that you keep rejecting it, then that willful rejection opens the door up to delusion. And those spirits play to keep your soul. But I'm here today to tell you, this is why you're learning this, because we're going to get a checkup from a neck up. And today God will deal not only our head, but our hearts. And that's what you need to listen to. You need to listen to your head. I'm not just your head, but you need to listen to your heart, because God will be speaking to you and saying, oh my goodness, am I really walking in light or am I walking in darkness? Have I sought it with darkness in areas? Because there's many believers that even though they are light in the Lord, they side with things that are darkness, like abortion and different issues. And I know people get all upset because a pastor will talk about that, but a pastor is supposed to talk about that, because sin is the open door for deception and more to eat, more the devil to get in your life. You better thank your God that you got somebody that will stand up and tell you right from wrong. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 and 13. Here's another light and darkness one. It says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I quoted this a minute ago, that first half. But look at the other extreme. But evil men and seducers shall grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I can tell you, you got so many people that are out there on the world scene, unelected officials that are world elites. Nobody elected them, but they got big bucks. They financing all the evil in the world. And this tells you they are deceiving their lies. How can people stand up and say, safe and effective, this, that, and that, other, take this, take that, and you'll be all right, when there's mountains of evidence? Believe the science, follow the science, when there's never been any test, nothing to prove that it was safe and effective. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And then swear up and down and still pushing it that it's all safe and effective when millions have died. And proven that it was behind it. Deceiving and worse, being deceived. This is how it's happening, church. There's people that will swear up and down. They think that they are the Savior, the coming Savior of the world. They think that they're doing society a favor. But they are not only deceiving, but this is why they do it, because they are being deceived. You want to give a few names? Oh, I could give a list of them, but I won't today. Praise the Lord. Listen to what it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Listen, a lot of times people, if they would just ask themselves this question, where's those people that are saying things, where's their stand at with Jesus? Come on. Where are they standing with Jesus? People, even Christians, follow people in the world system, hook, line, and sinker. They never ask, what is that saying of Jesus? If you do, you don't even have to do any research. They're agnostic. They're God haters and God rejectors, most of them. I take no pleasure in saying that, but Christians will fall for the lies. You don't have to. One translation says they will fool others. These people will fool others, but they will also be fooled themselves. One day, listen, in the middle of fooling, listen, the devil is slick. He is not only to deceive them, but listen, some of them are so fooled that they will get to heaven and they're going to say, they're going to get to hell, I'd rather say. I hope they do get to heaven, but they're going to have to repent and make Jesus their Lord of their life. That's possible. But when they get to hell, there's going to be some that are so deceived, they're going to say, Satan, where's my kingdom that you promised me? And he said, you fool, your kingdom is this fire pit right here. The devil's a liar and the father of lies. Isaiah 5 verse 20 tells us the time that we live in are the two extremes. Amen. Look at your neighbor and wake him up and say, he's almost finished with this part. He's going to get to the part that you want to hear. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 5 verse 20 says, woe unto them that call evil good. You know, like abortion is women's rights. I don't know why I'm on that, but it's true anyway. It says, when is murder a human right? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and have put darkness for light or women's rights. I put darkness for light. I know I get a lot of people that don't leave me no hate mail. That's all right. But put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's exactly what we're seeing in society today. It's a divide. It's a chasm. It's a polarization. And people call it a political polarization. They call it a cultural, societal polarization. That's just a mask for what it really is. You know what it really is? It is a spiritual battle. And I'm here today to tell you, I'm not against any person that's ever had an abortion, that's had any of those things. There's forgiveness. There's love. And I'm all for that. I'm all for the forgiveness and for the love and all that. What I am not for is us being deceived to think that it's all right and that it won't cost people their souls. God will forgive you. God loves you and He cares for you. He will forgive you. And if you truly repent, if you've had those things, I'm here today to be the first to tell you, God will pardon you. He will forgive you and He will love you. But the weight and the burden you're feeling because of it doesn't come from God. It comes from the devil. And I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to say the voices and the advocates that will line up and say, it's all right, it's okay, do this, do that, the other, they're liars. And God says, don't be deceived. It's a time of darkness, but it's also a time of light. Revelation 22, verse 11 and 12, here we go. He said, he said unto me, this is what Jesus said, or the angel said, seal not. Let me turn there 1 second. Let me turn there myself, because in Revelation 22, hallelujah, and he saith unto me, this angel, seal not the sayings of the prophecy. Do not keep them secret. The sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. In other words, near for all these things to happen. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Have you ever wondered what that means? And he that which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. What is that saying? People at this point, Jesus is warning us, or this angel is, he says, people have already made a decision. The unrighteous are going to live filthy. Their fruits will follow them. The word filthy means to soil or to become dirty by. And this is what this is saying, the lost will go blindly on and ever increase in evil. But the righteous, notice it said, let the unjust, let him be unjust still. And that which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. The righteous will be and live holy. And what he's saying is, at this point, people have made their decision. And the wicked, going to be wicked. The righteous, going to be righteous. This is why Jesus said in Matthew 7, he says, by their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits, church, by their fruits. Now look at verse 16 and verse 16, 14 through 16 rather. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loveth and maketh a lie. And Jesus has sent my angel. Jesus has sent my angel to testify or to tell you these things in the church. That's the way it's supposed to be talked about, in the church. I'm the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Why would Jesus want to talk about it to the church? Because the church isn't deceived. So the church will know that before I return, the world's going to get darker, but baby, we're supposed to grow brighter. hotter and hotter, brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Amen. And we need to understand these two extremes. Not only do these scriptures clearly illustrate the two extremes of light and darkness that will be prevalent in the last days, but it also illustrates the clear polarization as well. Now, here are the words of Jesus. You want to get mad at Jesus. Don't get mad at me. Praise the Lord. No, Jesus showed us a big enough. He told us the truth. And I'm telling you the truth. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm telling you the truth because I love you. I'm tired of people playing games. I'm tired of people. You know, what? 3 years ago it was that God spoke to me in my spirit and say, you pray that your people, you can't control everybody. Everybody's going to have to make their own decision. I'm your pastor. I can be your pastor. I cannot be your master. But God said, you pray for the people not to be deceived. And I've been praying constantly about that. But we all have a choice. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 9, verse 39, Amplified Translation, red letter. And Jesus said, I came into the world for judgment as a separator. A separator. As a separator. In order that there may be separation between those who believe on me and those who reject me. In other words, to be very apparent. To make the sightless see and to make those who see become blind. Now, what does he mean by that? In other words, that last statement, to make the sightless see and make those who see become blind. In other words, those who reject Christ's light, they claim they see, they will be the ones that die in their sin and in darkness. See, if you are blind, Jesus said, I can give you light so you can see again. But those that say, I'm fine, I see, that are really blind, Jesus said, you'll die that way. That's what he told the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Read the other two verses of that chapter, you find that. But as we go back, he says, I've come as a separator in order that there may be separation between those who believe on me and those that reject me. It ought to be clear, not because of what political party we stand on, but who is our master. There will be no political messiah. There will be no, listen, we do need righteousness and true righteousness in all levels of government. We need that. But there will be no political messiah. There will only, the final true right of all wrongs will occur when Jesus Christ returns at his second coming. That is not saying that we don't supposed to vote righteously. That doesn't say that we don't supposed to be a voice and a force, but we first and foremost be a voice and a force for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This again illustrates that total belief in Jesus Christ will cause this extreme. And these extremes. And there has never been a more important time in our lives to be sold out to Him and to walk in the light than right now. Never been a more important time. And what we have done, for all of you that were here, in case you haven't been, in the previous four messages, now, wake up your neighbor and say, he's getting to the good part. Praise the Lord. In the previous four messages, we ended each message with what we call action steps that we can take to prevent the last day deceptions that the scriptures repeatedly warned about, and how that we as believers could build a wall of protection around us and our families so that we will not just survive, but actually thrive in these final days of the church age. So in all the things and all the messages we talked about and all the warnings about deception, all the things that paint the picture of the last days, we've ended today that Jesus says, good news, there, wherever sin abounds, grace is going to superabound. Where there's going to be gross darkness that covers the earth, but there's going to be a cloud of glory that you need to run and abide in. For he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So run to the light. Run God's way. Run to the glory cloud. Because both are going to be. And it's going to be choosing which side. No different than Joshua said. Choose you this day whom you serve. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we find here that as we come to these action steps, I'm going to remind you very briefly what the five action steps were, and then we're going to finish today this series by looking at the sixth action step. Are you ready? Here we go. Action step number one was every morning pray. In other words, put prayer first in your life. If you work second shift or third shift, that's your morning. Don't wait until the end of the day that you say, well, I'm just going to, before I go to bed, I'm going to read and study. You're going to fall asleep. Is what you're going to do. Amen. And I know I get up very early. Many times, most of the mornings of the week, I get up 3:30. And so I'm pretty tired when I get up at 3:30 too. But you know what? There's times that, bless God, I'm more awake than others. And I have to get up and walk and pray. And walk and read. Or get up and move around. Blessed be God. But you know what? I put it first. Number two, read the Bible every day. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we talked about more than just casual reading, but I don't have time to talk about that. These scriptures help us in this. Number three, quickly confess sin and receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Listen, that you, it's not if you sin, it's when you sin. You're a believer, but there's times that we sin. The scripture says, if we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, God's faithful just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, repentance is necessary. That means we actually turn from the sin that we're asking God to forgive us to and turn to God. We put our back on the sin and we go towards righteousness. Not sorry we got caught, not this, that, the other, not making excuses. Get it under the blood and walk in the righteousness that belongs to you. Walk in the righteousness that belongs to you, because if you don't, you've opened the door to the devil. Number four, put on the whole armor of God. Amen. You need to understand both the defensive and offensive weapons that God has given us so that we can live a successful Christian life. Once again, we don't have time to, we already have in other messages. Number five, last week, make a covenant with your eyes. Oh, how important that is. Listen, men and ladies, make a covenant with your eye. In other words, Lamentation 3:51 tells us our eye affects our heart. Make sure that the light that's in us is not really darkness. In other words, make sure that what we set before us, our eyes on a continual basis glorifies God. Because what we put before our eyes and look at and ponder about, it gets in our heart. All right, we talked a lot about that now. Number six, everybody say, I'm ready for number six. Regular, attend and be an active part of a church that teaches the Bible. Woo! I'm going to say it again. Regular, attend. Well, Pastor Chris, listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to really help everybody. Regular don't mean Easter and Christmas. Listen, I'm thankful for the hundreds that we have here on Easter and Christmas. But I always look at myself and say, man, I hope a lot of them come back next week, because, praise God, God loves them, and we do too. Listen, enough said. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25, and let's see what it says. Let us hold fast the professional confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Amen. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Amen. And not forsaking or not neglecting the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. See, some is going to do that, but all the more as a man of some lives, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of Christ's return. In other words, we don't slack off coming to church because it's in time. We more and more. It says it's something we need, because the world is getting darker. The church is to get brighter. And you know what? I'm here to throw logs on your fire, baby. Come on, that's what I'm doing. You just better be glad that I ain't coming down there and squirting you with lighter fluid today. Praise God. I'm about to. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know I'm a mess, and I'm just messing with you. Praise the Lord. But see, one of the things we must understand is the local church is the last day ark of safety. Is the last day ark of safety. And just as Noah, pounded in the presence of society for 100+ years, echoing. Every time that hammer went off, it says, judgment is coming. There's a flood that's about to come, and I'm preparing a ark for you to get on. This is why I'm saying, listen, coming to church don't save you. But once you're saved, amen, you need to be in a local church where if we put that, no, listen, not forsaking the assembly of itself together, all the more where we exhort it, amen. Praise God, as we see, we're built up. In other words, we can say like this, where you're fortified with truth to fight the good fight of faith. Glory to God. Where you're strengthened and encouraged and do others this same thing. In other words, not only you are strengthened and encouraged, but because you're fortified and built up in faith, you're able to help others. You're able to encourage others. You're able to see what lights other people's fire, or see them something going the other way, and you come and help them and you encourage them, bless God. This is what these three scriptures are talking about. And to assemble to learn, we assemble to learn to be the church. See, it's not about having some perfect attendance badge or just saying we got numbers. It's about actual people learning to be the church, to be the voice and the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. See, the importance of finding a local church or a body of believers that believe this book like you do and even stronger than you do. Believe this book, not the Reader's Digest or first or second imaginations or opinions. Not the humanistic philosophy that's prevalent in the world today. But the importance of finding a local church, a body of believers, where you can receive a steady, a healthy diet of God's Word. It cannot be underestimated in your life. Your spiritual life and growth are dependent upon it. I can tell you where you go to church at is a matter of life and death. And I would say this, there's a lot of good churches out there, but we should all be a part of one that can nurse you up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Not tickle your ear, it doesn't necessarily where all your friends are or where this or the other, blessed be God, but it's where you're fed. Because where you're fed, you can be led. Amen. It is really the church of God's choice, not our choice. When's the last time we asked God? It's not necessarily about being made feel good. It's about getting the truth. Because let me tell you something, honey. Only the truth will set you free. Only the truth can set you free. Not just to get all the warms and fuzzy. I got some. Come next week. I'll probably have a warm and fuzzy for you. Praise the Lord. If God says so. They say, my God, pastor is, you know, whatever. Pardon me, but know this. God wants us helped. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us. Helping us. You must fortify yourself and your family by sitting under the preaching and teaching of God's Word that encourages, equips, confronts, and helps you to conform to the likeness of Jesus in thought and action. There are numerous examples and scriptures that obviously illustrate this, but here's a good one. Turn with me in Psalms 119, verse 28. As it marvelously depicts the powerful effect of God's Word to divinely energize a person who is otherwise would feel spiritually, physically, and emotionally weak. Notice it says, my soul melts in heaviness. This is how people are. Because they have all this stuff comes against them in life. Life is never fair, but God is good. And if you will sit yourself in a place and get up sometimes when you don't feel like getting up, pushing through the mully grubs and getting on the phone and say, well, I'm going to church today, and your friend says, no, I can't go today. You say, blessed be God, I'm going anyway because I'm going to get some help today. When you do it God's way, you can never tell all that's going to happen, but you can tell this, something good is going to happen. He said, my soul melts for heaven, melts for heaveness. The psalmist said, I've got something going on spiritually. I got something going on mentally. I got something going on physically. Come on. I got something going on that ain't right. But he prayed. He said, strengthen me according to your word. Woo! You know why? Because the Word is always the answer. The Word is always the answer. And mark this down. It do you well to do a little Bible study. The longest chapter in the Bible is Psalms 119, I believe. Praise God. If you will look, find these examples where, if you read in the King James Version, it says something like this: quicken me according to your word. Other translations, other places that say, revive me or strengthen me according to your word is the psalmist's prayer. Why? Because life ain't fair, but God is good. And things weigh on us. Things come against us. Problems, situations, feelings, and all the ickiness of the world. But God says, the psalmist says, strengthen me according to your word. And every time we come together, I'm giving you a word that will strengthen you. Yes, they may be correcting, but I want you to know correction is not rejection, but redirection for your protection. Say, would you say that again? Sure, I will. Correction is not rejection, but redirection for your protection. God wants you to walk in His way. And as we do it His way, we will be strengthened. His Word strengthens us when we receive it, bless God. Psalms 119, verse 92 and 93 says it like this: unless your law had been my delights, I should have perished in my affliction. Unless your law, unless your Word had been my delight, woo, I would have perished in my affliction. Verse 93 says this: I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me or given me life. Listen, the local church is so important. Here's why: because it helps the word be a delight. My God, oh, God wants His word to be your delight. And not ever forget that by it, God has quickened us or given us life. He has revived us. And in Hebrews 4:12, it says that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. One translation says, whatever God says to us in His word is full of life and power. One translation said it's full of living power. It has power to do something spiritually, has something to do mentally, emotionally, and physically. It touches every part of our being if we know how to receive it. It was sent to heal us and deliver us from our destruction. In fact, the amount of spiritual fire you have burning at your core is directly related to how much of God's word is planted in your heart. And I can tell you, I've been slinging seed ever since I come here today. Come on, I hope you're receiving it. I'm going to say it again. The amount of spiritual fire you have burning at your core is directly related to how much God's word is planted into your heart. And where you regularly and faithfully attend church is a vital factor in this equation. All of this I talked about today, it illustrates the clear need to regularly attend a church where you will be taught and encouraged from the Bible and strengthened by the presence of the Holy Ghost as you worship God with other believers. Isn't it beautiful when you can? You sense His presence. And there, this is another essential part of the plan to build a wall of protection around your life and your family. All six of these action steps not only protect us and our families from the last day deception, but also empower us to win and to be the triumphant church Jesus said He would build, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, I said all this, Brother Ryan, just you come at this moment and help me. I said all this to tie it back to point number three. Can we put that first slide up that says the three points there? In the back. Can we do that for one second? And I want us to turn to Matthew 13. I'm going to read this parable that Jesus said. Number three, the two extremes. The reason we're talking about this is so that we are choosing what side we'll be found on. Now, I know many of you have already chosen, but what if you haven't? What if you're on the fence? The scripture talks about multitudes in the valley of decision before Christ returns. The prophet said that. Now, here today, Jesus paints this picture in this parable of exactly what it's going to be like, the two extremes in the last day. And I'm saying this for you to ask yourself, what side are you on and what side do you want to be found on? Matthew 13, Follow along with me, verse 36. And Jesus sent the multitude away and went to his house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us this parable. The parable of the tares, or the weeds of the field. And Jesus answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Anybody know who the Son of Man is? Jesus Christ. His word is the good seed. The Son of Man sows the good seed. The field is the world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares, or the wheat, the weeds, are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. For the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all that offend and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever have ears to hear, let him hear. Clearly illustrating the two extremes. The kingdom of God and of light. The kingdom of darkness and of Satan. The wheat, sons and daughters of God. The tares, the children of the devil. You choose which one, which kingdom, and who will we serve. God can't do it for you. It's an open book test. He told us to choose you this day. I was talking to someone just recently, and I quoted Deuteronomy chapter 30. We were talking about free will and this great gift that God has given every person. And Moses said, I call heaven to earth before you this day. Deuteronomy 30, I believe 19 and 20. Call heaven to earth before you this day. He tells us, church, to choose life. In this verse, as he speaks these words, he says this, I call heaven and earth to reckon this day against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and yours may live. Today, I'm inviting you to choose life. In just one moment, we're going to look at two other extremes at this table. But right now, there's nothing more important than your soul and where it will spend eternity. And if you don't know, you can know. Because right now, the truth is, you have heard. It is either going to be with God or the devil. You're either wheat or you're tares. You're either light or you're darkness. And God said, we choose. The good news is he gives us that choice. You better be thankful that he gives us this choice. For me personally, March the 30th, 1986, I made that choice. See, I grew up in church and thought because I did good things and didn't get caught doing bad things. Thought because I shook the preacher's hand as water baptized as a child. Thought because I prayed every night and asked God to forgive me that I was right with God. But at the age of 24, in 1986, I heard a message on an Easter Sunday morning that I realized that I had come to God my way. I had my own version of God. And your own version of God does not work. Your own version of God will send you to hell. And I had my own version of God. I thought. And it had nothing to do with what Jesus had done to save me or deliver me. But that day I understood that I needed to repent of my sin and come God's way. His way is Jesus. By repenting of my sin, opening my heart to him, and receiving him and making him my Lord, I was saved and I was born again. He changed my life. I left the kingdom of darkness and came to the kingdom of light. Many people say, you know, well, I was forgiven and now I'm cleansed. Well, that's true. But you also go from being lost to being saved. From being a child of the devil. Oh, it's getting deeper now. To becoming a child of God. From walking in darkness and being blind to walking in the light and walking in truth. Today I invite you. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's about being changed. Many people like myself had to come to awakening that I made the wrong choices. I was coming my way, not God's way. And And there's plenty of people that realize, they say this, that's not me, Pastor. My thing is I don't think that God could ever forgive me because I've denied God, I've rejected God. He's the very person, you're the very person God wants to, for you to know He will forgive. Because He says, I'll be merciful to your unrighteousness and your sins and your iniquities. I will remember no more. Paul said, he called himself the chiefest of sinners. And he says, I persecuted the church, I killed the church. That's what Paul did. He was Saul of Tarsus at that time. He says, but God saved me as a model example to the rest of the world that if God could save me, He could save anybody. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians in the attitude of prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians in the attitude of prayer. If you're here today, and there's never been a time that you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, today.